T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
As if we didn't have enough going on, and now there is violence in the streets of many great American cities. And it was hard to watch that over the weekend. The protest, in my opinion, is legitimate. The reason for the protest is legitimate. There's no excuse. People can give you reasons for the looting. They can give you reasons for the violence. But none of them should be accepted as excuses. No excuse for that. And it should be denounced by everybody. And it is being denounced by a lot of people. It's being denounced by a lot of blacks. It's being denounced by almost everybody. Some people are making excuses, but those who are making excuses, those who are supporting the violence, are the true minority. So let's open our eyes and open our ears. And instead of viewing all of this and everything through a myopic political perspective, your myopic political perspective, let's look at what's happening. And that's what I base my show on every afternoon on WWL. I'm a radical moderate. I'm a registered independent. I don't belong to either political tribe, and I vote for Republicans, I vote for Democrats. I vote for the best candidate. And I have no political agenda. My only agenda is promoting equality, promoting fairness. And what we're learning is that there are black men in America who are afraid of the police. This is not to excuse the black suspects whose behavior requires lethal force. But the case of George Floyd is so blatantly wrong that I think this may be a beginning of change. And look at the number of white people marching with black Americans. Predominantly, they're young people. And this also brings me back to the 60s and 70s. But this is something that the baby boomer generation, today's establishment, has to pay attention to. This is, in some ways, an anti-establishment movement. And the reason that baby boomers are so sensitive to that is because we were the anti-establishment generation. We were that rock, rebellious generation that the establishment thought we would never become anything. But for a while, what our generation did manifested change. And think about the music. Think about the iconic, epic work of the rock musical Hair. And the songs that dealt with equality. The theme of the baby boomer generation was a theme of fighting for equality, not judging skin color, religion, sexual orientation, gender. It was about equality. And now a young generation is standing up for that again. I hope they don't change. I hope they don't lose this idea that equality is possible. You know, it's a representative, let me get her name, a representative from Florida. She was on earlier today telling a story. Congresswoman Val Demings, Democrat from Florida. She's from the Orlando area. I believe she was the first black woman a police chief in Orlando. And she told a story about remembering when she was young, when black police officers were first introduced to being part of the Orlando Police Department. And she said there was a lot of tension. And she said that the feeling was, we need to have black police officers in the black communities. But there was a lot of segregation among the police officers, a lot of tension between blacks and whites. And then she said a miraculous thing happened. Congresswoman Deming said, the brilliant idea of putting white and black police officers in the same car was the beginning of change. And she said, here's what changed. The black officers and the white officers started talking to each other. And they started realizing that they both like football. They both like basketball. And this was many years ago. They both talked about their kids and how they wanted the best for their children. And they cared about their health. And they cared about their house. And at the time, they talked even more then about the money that they weren't making. So they had that in common. So the idea of black and white police officers in the same cars, patrolling together, is what brought about change. It doesn't mean that there's not some segregation today. It doesn't mean that there are not some police officers with really bad attitudes. Having a bad attitude and carrying a bad negative attitude into the field, two different things. But I find that story so endearing because it kind of reminds us of how, you know, when you watch the news, everybody's in a group. But if you think about your personal life, you think about the people that you know. And if you're white and you know somebody who's black, if you're black and you know somebody who's white, if you're Christian and you know somebody who's Muslim, I mean, if you talk to these people, if you know them, they don't fit the stereotype of the group that you see on the news. And we can't allow ourselves to always be judged by what we see in and on the news. Let's judge each other as people, as humans. Humans first. Americans first. Democrats and Republicans and white and black. Those are subgroups of the group that we're Americans first. And what has hurt me so deeply about this weekend and now the seventh day of unrest in the streets of America is this idea that this does not look like the America that I want to live in. This does not look like the America that we strive for. President Trump gave a very, very powerful speech in the Rose Garden today. He talked about compassion for George Floyd, and he said that justice will be served and that Floyd will not have died in vain. And he said, innocent people have been affected by this, have lost individuals and business owners. And ironically, it's the business owners of the businesses that serve that community that are being hurt. Some people's dreams have been destroyed. By who? By activist renegades hijacking the concept of protesting something. What is yet to be seen is exactly what President Trump means when he talks about the National Guard dominating our streets. Law enforcement needs to dominate the streets. And if that includes the National Guard, okay. But it was the president suggesting that if the governors don't do this, I'll do it. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but it has to be done in the proper way. And the president is drawing on an 1807 Insurrection Act, an 1807 law that's allowing him to do this. And again, this is not politically correct for those of you on the right, but it's an honest opinion of what I saw. And I was watching this unfold live this afternoon. Suddenly, before the president was going to speak, the National Guard and law enforcement in D.C. near the White House got really aggressive with a peaceful crowd and pushed them back. And they were pushed back for the sole purpose of opening up a lane, a safe haven for President Trump to have a photo opportunity at historically known St. John's Episcopal Church near the White House. And the president stood there for the cameras holding up the Bible. He didn't open it. I don't believe he referred to any passages in it. It was just a photo op. And I think there's something wrong that if you and I don't care who the president is, if you and I get to the point where we accept a photo opportunity as a reflection of something that is real and honest, we are the fools. And obviously, this was a play to the base. There are reports that President Trump is very upset that the report got out that he was taken into a bunker in the White House because things got so tense outside the White House over the weekend. And trying to combat that, he came back with this tough talk. And look, we need to be tough. And I respect when the president says, we're going to shut down the rioting. The rioting needs to be shut down. I agree with him on that. Let's just make sure that all this is done in a way that's congruent with the Constitution and the foundation upon which this nation was built. Here's another song that I find hauntingly applicable today. Big hit from Three Dog Night. It's from the rock musical Hair. Listen to the words. If you want to join us with a comment this evening, our number is 260-1870. It's area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 260-1870. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Tough thing to talk about, but we have to talk about it. And we'll be back on WWL. Equal rights means that nobody should fear the police. And because of things that have happened historically in this country, there are reasons for people to fear the police. And that's not fair. It's not even American. We can disagree when it comes to political ideology. We should never disagree when it comes to basic human rights. I'm Scoot. This is a special edition of The Scoot Show at night here on WWL, AMFM, and radio.com. I appreciate you being with us. If you do want to join us with a comment, our number is 260 1-870, area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 260-1870. We just changed that to a new text number. Let's go to Gentile. And Justin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. It's in an evening. Thank you for the show. I'm really just kind of stunned that you're coming in after you did your show before. Anyway, get to the point. First of all, I never liked applying the words black and white to people, but for simplicity's sake, I'll use them. I've talked to some of my black friends, my neighbors, and I've also talked to some people standing in line at the grocery store, and I posed the question to them. What if the roles were reversed and it was a black cop on a white guy's neck? They all said we'd be still mad. So it's not really race. I think, and actually right. Newell Norman touched on this earlier, it's a matter of police training. They need to be retrained on how to subdue a suspect without hurting them. And there's also that old adage that says, one bad apple spoils a barrel. I don't believe that. You don't throw away a whole barrel of good apples just because of a few bad ones. You take the bad ones out and you keep the rest of them that are good. So that's my comment.
Justin, I appreciate the call. Glad you're with us tonight. And the criticism of these police officers, and in particular, Derek Chauvin, the criticism is a cry to promote that most police officers, the overwhelming number of police officers, are good people and they're doing their job. You know, the nature of news focuses on the negative things in life. It's our human nature. We can't help it. Negative news gets more attention than positive news. If some kid makes the honor roll in your neighborhood, that's not as big a news as if some kid steals something from a convenience store. So it's human nature. Since the goal of news is to attract the largest possible audience, then it is going to be governed by the same principles that govern entertainment. It's all designed to get your attention. The news reflects the audience. And not everybody who is part of the audience wants to accept that reality. And in my studies of communication theory, which helped me understand the relationship between the media and society, the media doesn't put on stories. They don't cover things that they think you're not going to watch. And so we bear some responsibility in what is on the news. There are white people killed by blacks all the time. And people wonder why it doesn't get as much attention as this. A couple of reasons. The most prominent reason is because a white police officer killing a black suspect in a questionable manner touches the scars of our past, which I didn't cause, and you didn't cause, but they're there. And also, we expect more out of a police officer. I think it's fair to hold police officers, human as they might be, to a higher standard. And so, when you've got somebody in society who has power and authority and is armed, they should be held to a higher standard because of the possibilities of what they could do if they weren't responsible. From New Orleans, Dre, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, what's up, Scoop, man?
Hey, Dre.
It is real simple, but it is, if you just convict the police officers of murder, and like some way from 2011 from the Michael Brown's, was him, if he did it or not, but if you see these police officers and convict them of murder, you just want justice. That's it. You know what I'm saying? You take a clearly act of first-degree murder, and you can see he just put his knee in his neck and he stopped breathing, and you say, well, we don't have enough evidence to arrest him, and the whole world sees this. We just want justice. I mean, if you convict
Trey, I do get that. It's not... as far as I know, it's not first degree murder. The other day it was third degree murder, which is kind of an obscure murder charge and manslaughter. You know, you're right. This is about a murder, and it's okay, in my opinion, if the police officers wait a couple of days because of a unique immunity situation that surrounds police officers. Whether that's fair or not, that can be debated. But police officers do get an initial benefit of the doubt. But it didn't take long for the prosecution to do the right thing.
That's correct.
As opposed to the prosecution in Brunswick, Georgia, which did not do the right thing in failing to arrest the McMichaels in the incident where Ahmaud Arbery was
shotgun, with
murdered.
Shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicago. I mean, yeah. that's all we ask for, man. I don't care if it's white. It was a black police officer shooting a white man, and you see the black police officer put his knee in a white suspect. We wouldn't want him to go to jail for murder, too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's murder. You know, no matter what color it is, it's actions and then what's name. Yeah, then you had the other officers holding them down. It looked like premeditated murder to me. You wanted him dead. And you see people on camera taping you, and you just looking at the camera and keep doing it. That's
yeah, I can see that argument. I can see that argument. And, you know, the police also have a responsibility to protect and serve when it comes to the cops. And if a police officer is doing something illegal, why does a police officer not have the responsibility to stop and arrest the person who is committing the crime? If it's the police officer committing the crime, something should be done about the police officer. And again, all of this negativity, all of this calling out of police officers, this is all motivated by a strong desire to protect and just remind us that the great number of police officers, men and women, are doing a great job. Honest job, and their image cannot be tainted by the behavior of a cop like the guy in Minneapolis.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, they do a great job. I'm not saying all police officers are bad, like all people are bad because we need them when something happens, but the ones who do violent acts are thugs. That's the thugs, you know?
Well, we're also learning that there are some police officers who can be thugs too. And thug is a term that I use on my radio show and in social media as a term that transcends racial boundaries. It is about behavior, not about race.
Yeah. Not about race.
Trey, I appreciate the call.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
All right, stay safe. If you want to join us this evening, our number is 260-1870. It's area code 504-260-1870, and our text is now 260-1870. Also, let's not forget that the coronavirus pandemic is still going on. And in addition to that, here in the New Orleans area and really throughout the Gulf Coast states, particularly Texas and Louisiana and to the west, we're looking at a tropical storm developing in the Gulf of Mexico and heading in this general direction by the weekend. It looks as if it's going to be minimal, but we all have learned the hard way that a minimal storm can wreak havoc. You know, just when things were starting to get positive with the reopening of businesses and things coming back, and think about how they feel in places like Los Angeles and Minneapolis. And I was shocked at the violence over the weekend in Salt Lake City. People just getting to reopen their businesses, and their businesses are destroyed. Not by protesters, by agitators, by antagonists. And President Trump is right to call out Antifa. And there may be some members of Antifa who reject the violence. But Antifa as a group does not have a very good image. And then also I brought up earlier, which I just learned over the weekend, about the Boogaloo Boys, the Boogaloo Movement, a white supremacist anti-government movement that, according to reports, is siding with blacks, the people they hate. But they're siding with them now because they want to fulfill the prophecy of a new American Civil War based on race. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text number is 260-1870. You know, there's going to be a lot of people looking ahead to the future, and we're going to wonder if the Memorial Day gatherings cause a spike in the COVID-19 numbers. And now we're going to wonder, are the riots going to cause a spike in the COVID numbers? Once again, a song from the past, when the baby boomer generation was coming of age. When the baby boomer generation, now the establishment, was the anti-establishment generation. These, so many songs then spoke to the fight for equality and coming together and a new young generation is trying to do that as well. And some of us in the baby boomer generation are trying to do that as well. But it's amazing how these songs relate to today, which is in a way scary. Let's make this the beginning of real change. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. This is WWL. Even the wearing of a mask or not wearing a mask has become so politically divisive in America. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us here on WWL, AMFM, and radio.com. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download the app radio.com. And then just type in WWL, and you've got us in any of your favorite stations. Just type in your favorite stations. And we hope WWL is one of them. Type in the station, and you've got that right there on your phone just by clicking on the icon, radio.com. It's great for people in New Orleans, in this area, and it's great for those of you around the country. It's radio.com. It is the new way to listen to radio. Great streaming service. And you've got us anytime, anywhere. I ordinarily do a show in the afternoon here on WWL from 1 to 4, Central Daylight Time, New Orleans time. And this really is just a special edition of our show at night. We felt like things had reached a tipping point. They asked us at the last minute to do this, and Ian Hoke, my senior studio producer back in the studio, and I, with about 15 minutes notice, got together and put the show together. And if you want to be part of it, if you want to join us with a comment, here's the number, 260-1870, area code 504, 260-1870. And our text is now 260-1870. And we just seem to have reached a sad tipping point in all of this. And there's a need for the conversation to continue. And on my show this week, during the week, I am going to continue to promote what it's going to take to have an honest conversation about race relations in America. And of course, tomorrow morning on WWL First News, Dave Cohen at 5, Tommy Tucker and Dave Cohen from 6 to 10, and Noel Norman, who has a lot of expertise in this area, a former sheriff of Jefferson Parish. A lot of expertise in the perspective of dealing with rioters, dealing with these situations, and also in dealing with an officer who made a big mistake. And the officer, Derek Chauvin, has been charged with murder, manslaughter, and the death of George Floyd has been declared murder. Terrence Floyd is George's brother. And here he is leading chants in his brother's name.
Name!
George Floyd!
George!
Floyd!
George!
Floyd!
George!
Floyd!
George!
Floyd!
There have been a lot of situations where people have died at the hands of police officers that shouldn't have died. In some cases, lethal force is necessary. I wonder if this time's going to be different. I hope it is. It seems like the way George Floyd died, this deserves to be different. Terrence Floyd, George's brother, also, and think about this, here is the guy whose brother died. and listen to what he's saying to those who are creating acts of violence.
What are y'all doing? Y'all doing nothing, because that's not going to bring my brother back at all.
Terrence also said, we have to find a new way forward.
That's what we're going to get them, because we're going to fool them. They think we're going to do this. They think we're going to do something, and we're going to switch it on them. Let's switch it up, y'all. Let's switch it up. Do this peacefully.
Let's do it peacefully. There are those who argue that you can't do it peacefully because nobody pays attention. And you know, the sad truth is, there is some truth to that. That this is what it takes to get attention. And shame on us for forcing it to get to this point before everybody really pays attention. Here's a text that says, violence begets violence, Scoot. That's true. And there are so many protesters who are begging the instigators, the outsiders, who are taking advantage of this moment to commit these acts of violence and to cause unrest. There are people who think that we're headed for an American Civil War. I don't think so, because there's too many like me and you. There's too many of us. There's not enough of them. And sometimes it takes them acting the way they're acting for us to get to the point where we show our force and we expose our will. Here's a text that says, hasn't he been charged hanging without a trial? Well, we can't do that. We don't do that in this country. And we shouldn't start doing that. The video evidence is overwhelming. There's no way he can get out of this. The police officer. There's no way he can get out of this. There are creative defense attorneys, but he did it. And it appears as if what he did led to this man's death. The first autopsy showed that he did not die of strangulation. An autopsy ordered by the family, different results. He died of asphyxiation. If I'm not mistaken, Eric Garner, who was in that chokehold in New York, I believe that he died from lack of blood to the brain. So, you know, maybe something is not specifically strangulation, but the act of kneeling on somebody's neck and cutting off blood supply, cutting off air, that can lead to death. George Floyd was not a choir boy. But the last time I checked, we don't have the death penalty for passing a phony $20 bill. Maybe he didn't even know it. Maybe he did. And when it comes to people resisting arrest and asking for police to use force, this was not one of those cases. And the blatant nature of this wrongdoing is so astounding that it cannot be ignored. And I'm hopeful, as a baby boomer who, as a kid, witnessed segregation, witnessed the battle for civil rights. And I never understood why there was this battle. You know, one of my best friends in high school was a black student. His name was Glenn. We both had the same goal. At the time, we both wanted to be airline pilots. And we shared that common goal. And it's kind of like the story that I told earlier from the Congresswoman, Val Demings, Democrat from Florida. She was police chief in Orlando. One of, if not the first, female black police chiefs in the country. And she told a story about the police department in Orlando when they first introduced black police officers so they could help patrol the black neighborhoods, thinking that that would help. And there was segregation in the police department. Whites on one side, blacks on the other side. And then what changed it all was pairing white and black officers together in the same patrol car. And though there was resistance in the beginning, over time, they started talking. And they realized that their goals in life were the same. They liked football. They liked basketball. They shared that. This was a long time ago. They worried about their kids. They worried about how much money they weren't making with the police department. They had financial issues. They had all of these things in common. And we have so much more in common than that which divides us. But what divides us gets more attention on the news. And so the news, it is a reflection of society, but we should not see it as a reflection of who we are as individuals. And we get wrapped up in seeing everybody as a stereotype. And I've said this often, and it's a great example. If you are quick to stereotype young black males because of what you see in the news, because of the faces that you see, because of the disproportionate number of faces you see in the news, if you judge the whole group, then you're basically saying it's okay to judge all middle-aged white men as child pornographers, because that is the overwhelming image that you see on the news. White middle-aged men are into child porn. I'm not saying black males are not, but the overwhelming faces you see are middle-aged white men. If you want to join us, 260-1870, and our text is 260-1870. We have been divided for a long time. President Trump is not responsible for the divide in America. It started before that. But he came along at the right time to feed into it. But it's our fault if we follow along and become divided. Because the point is, we are so deeply divided that I don't even know if we have the right to call ourselves the United States of America. I'm Scoot. We are coming right back with more. This is a special edition of our show at night on WWL in New Orleans. And we will find an ordinary world again. We're just going through a tough time right now. The coronavirus pandemic is still there. And it really is going to be interesting to see if there's an uptick from the gatherings Memorial Day weekend and from the protest. In some protests, you see like 90% of the people wearing masks or facial coverings. But they're still very close. And conceivably, based on what we know about the virus, it could lead to a spread. But we don't know. There's a lot we don't know. Let's just hope for the best. These are challenging times. And 2020 began, for me, in such a positive way. And even with all of this, I'm still positive. Because every challenge offers a gift. It's up to us to find the gift. But in this challenge of the pandemic, and in this challenge of the riots in the streets of major cities, in dealing with this horrific death that we all saw, that we as a nation are outraged over, in all of this, there's a gift for us. And the gift that you get from it may be different from the gift that I get from it. But I've learned in life that through our challenges, there are gifts to be received. So look for the gift. Look for the good that will come out of this. We're going to replay President Trump's address a very powerful address from the Rose Garden. We'll replay that about 10:20 this afternoon. I'm sorry, this evening. We'll be right back on WFUL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.